Are we there yet? Answers the questions on every impatient person's mind. Where are we in this on-chain journey? Are we making the world a better place? Are we building smarter, better, faster things? Are we building valuable businesses? Hop in and join us as we have real talk with real people who are building the things to make a dent in the way the world works. My name is Chris Everly, and this is Are We There Yet? Welcome to Are We There Yet? I'm your host, Chris Everly. Today, I'm joined by Naveen from IQ.Wiki. Naveen, great to see you again. Thank you for coming on today. And thank you for joining me as I come to you live from my 15-year-old son's bedroom, surrounded by Legos and toys and this awesome gaming chair. He's got better hardware than I do, but maybe a questionable set of background items, but I'm gonna go for it, and I feel like I'm gonna be converting a lot more listeners from audio only over to our YouTube to check out the scene from Billy's room here. So, thank you again for joining. Good to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Excited.
So a lot of the folks that that are tuning into Crypto Sapiens and that have tuned into the first episodes of this podcast of Are We There Yet are from sort of a wide array of from like the crypto curious all the way over to folks that kind of work in this space every day, which I think one is just especially relevant to what you are working on at IQ Wiki, but also in terms of giving folks context as we get into this episode, it'd be great if you could give sort of an Eli Five, a sort of explain it like I'm five to folks of what IQ.Wiki is and what it's all about.
So IQ.Wiki is the world's largest blockchain encyclopedia. It's designed for basically anyone who wants to learn more about crypto, whether you're brand new to the space or, you know, you have years of experience. You can learn stuff from, like, you know, basic stuff like what is Bitcoin, what is Ethereum, all the way up to like complex DeFi topics like a Boro automated market maker or the recent Ethereum Denkun upgrade. So there's a wide variety. And then the really cool thing is you can actually get an ELi5 from our site, because we used all of our IQWiki data and we trained a AI model based on that. And then we launched IQGPT.com, which is free and it's out there. You can try it out. You can go to the website. You just need to log in, but you can, you know, sign up with any account. You can just set up an account for free. You can also integrate it into Telegram. So we have a Telegram bot based on that, as well as Discord. And yeah, then you can just ask about any concept, get an ELi5, but also like interact. Like you can ask, like, you know, what does this part mean? Like quote a part of it, you know, get an explanation of all the different elements of a wiki. Because what we found is a lot of people want to learn, they want to read, but it can be kind of challenging to understand like a long wiki. And a lot of people are, you know, they're quite busy. So one thing that you can kind of do to just cut down and get right to the point is to ask a specific question based on that data. So that's what I'm really excited about in terms of what we're building with IQWiki and IQGPT.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. And I think the intersection here of, you know, making, let's call it, you know, onboarding and education really easy and self-serve for people with the element of AI as sort of part of the mix is a really, I think it's a really like intellectually interesting topic, but I also just, I think super, super relevant for where we are in the space. I think for as long as I've been in crypto, which is, you know, seven plus years, there's been a big education gap, right? When folks jump in and try to start learning, there's so much sort of noise. It's hard to know where to look for information. The level of, you know, press coverage versus, you know, the kinds of things that the press ends up usually covering are often the more, you know, scandalous or, I don't know, tied to the casino of it all kinds of things versus really, you know, really the nuts and bolts of what's being built and how it works. And so, people can get into, you know, any array of that with what you guys have built. So I think super interesting. Want to get into it a little bit more in a second and understand sort of, you know, what's there and why you built it and how folks can use it. But before we do, I'd love to zoom out with you a little bit and help folks get to know you a little bit better. And I wonder if you could share your I would like to call it your crypto origin story. Like what brought you into working into this space? You know, where'd you come from? How'd you end up here? And what drives you to do the work that you do in crypto?
How I got into crypto was that I'm originally from Canada. So I was at Western University and I was studying there. And I was always really interested in startups. And I was always excited about it. And originally I wanted to do finance, but I was like headed to the Ivy Business School. But then I did an internship at a bank and I was like, this is not for me. Like I really want to be, because I've always been interested in tech. You know, I've always been interested in learning. I always read all the tech media growing up. And, so I always really wanted to get into that. But I thought you had to like be like a brilliant, dev or coder to be involved in startups. Or an engineer, because like my father was an engineer and he was in startups back in Ottawa. He worked at like Nortel and a couple of companies like that as well. He recently just retired after working at AMD. So he was kind of a big inspiration in terms of getting into tech. So I kind of knew I wanted to get into tech, but I didn't know how to get involved. So I saw like the Everpedia. So before IQWiki was IQWiki, around 2014 it was started. By Sam Kazmian, Theodore Forselius, Marblin Mogadam, and Travis Moore. So those four guys started Everpedia, and the vision back then was to create a more modern and inclusive version of Wikipedia. And that was exciting to me because I've always been interested in knowledge and learning, and it was like right at the ground floor, like as a startup. So I joined in 2016 while I was in school. So like when I was in school, I would just basically, as soon as I finished my like classes, I would start working on like creating content, like wiki articles, and it was really exciting. And I just kind of got more and more involved in the company that way. And then how we got the idea to create a cryptocurrency and to move into that space is that we kind of always been into crypto. Like when I first joined the company, Sam, how he paid his tuition, actually. Like, he was at UCLA when he started the company, and how he was paying his tuition was mining Dogecoin. So he was really, really early on in crypto. And, like, how I got into crypto was just, like, because we were a startup, we all lived together in this, like, hacker house kind of thing. And, we would just always ask each other questions and kind of learn from each other about crypto. And we didn't really... The funny part is, like, now it's very obvious. Like, there's so many Web3 apps, but... back in 2017, when we were first thinking about this, most of this stuff didn't really exist. But we saw the ICO boom and we saw all these projects being created and we realized maybe because one of the issues that we saw with Wikipedia was there was a lack of transparency. Mm. So like, for example, in terms of moderation, it's all done by admins and people who are part of the foundation. They're not really elected by the community. There's not a lot of transparency in terms of like why an edit is rejected and stuff like that. And we were like, blockchain could be a really great application for an encyclopedia. Like, what if we put everything on chain? So then in 2018, we launched as the first on-chain encyclopedia after we raised $30 million from Galaxy Digital, because they really saw the vision and what we wanted to build. And once we launched that, we launched the IQ token as well. And we airdropped it to a community. And from then on, it just became like, we had originally visioned like becoming something like Wikipedia, but what happened was everyone was just really excited about the crypto stuff. Like everyone really enjoyed the crypto content. And it was kind of like natural that, as the top blockchain encyclopedia, everything became focused around crypto. And then about 2 years ago, we kind of realized, okay, like, let's just fully focus on that because we can improve the user experience that way. So like, for example, like we, after we rebranded to IQ.wiki, we put the IQ token as the centerpiece. And then we also integrated stuff like CoinGecko, ENS. So if you log in, you'll have your ENS. Everything runs on Polygon. Every edit is recorded on chain and the data is hashed. So the data is actually stored on IPFS, but the hash goes on chain onto Polygon. So that's how we do things there. So that's kind of how we ended up getting on to be, building IQWiki. And then from there, we kind of realized, The main interesting thing we saw was with ChatGPT exploding. That's kind of how we got into AI, because we were like, this is another great innovation that we can use towards our mission of, making the world, know about crypto and a more intelligent place about crypto. So we saw that explosion with like 100 million users in like a month. And we were like, this would be amazing for like people to understand crypto, like have a real conversation, like kind of taking it back to how I learned about crypto was like having real conversations with people, but that's not scalable. But now everyone can talk to a real crypto expert with IQ-GPT. So that's what's really cool about what we're building.
Very cool, very cool. So much to unpack there, but I think maybe taking it from the AI stuff backwards. I mean, from my personal experience, I use ChatGPT every day in my work, and I've often find when I have like crypto-centric stuff that I'd like to get its help with, it's not as good as it is in other areas. And so you mentioned, so you guys have you've trained IQ-GPT off of IQ-Wiki. Is that right?
And also other sources as well. So we realized that we have a ton of data. So that's kind of the proprietary element that we have with IQ-GPT. But we also integrate like CoinGecko, like data feeds from that, as well as like partners like Invest Hong Kong. We have a relationship with them, and then we integrate their case studies and reports. We also worked with AP News to integrate their data. In Asia, CoinNest is one of the top South Korean media for crypto, so we integrate their articles. So we work with a lot of great live data providers as well to ensure that people both get the kind of concepts that are on IQWiki, but also price data. So you can ask like questions about like what are the top 10 AI tokens or the top 10 meme coins and get information like that uses data.
Interesting. I would imagine in recent days you're seeing an awful lot of people looking to learn more about meme coins, I would guess. And
We recently, I think Neko recently integrated IQGPT into, I believe, their Discord. So like basically all their community members, they can ask questions about Neko and just about crypto in general and get answers in their Telegram. So that's kind of where we're seeing things expand. So hopefully we'll get into more meme coins. That's kind of just the first start. But we're seeing a lot of different communities adopt IQGPT. Like Frax is like the top decentralized stable coin, one of the fastest growing, and they integrated into their community IQGPT. So we're seeing a lot of people, and it's cool to see it evolve because, for example, they're like the big stat is the collateralization ratio, like how much assets they hold relative to stable coins. And I think they just hit 100% recently. It's kind of bobbing around like 99% around there. And that was like a huge moment for the community because everyone was asking like, what is the CR? What is the collateralization ratio? So it's cool to see like different communities get involved and see how they use it.
Oh, that's very cool. I was going to ask. For individuals, for consumers, if you will, to get involved, right? They can go to your website. They can go to IQ.wiki, or they can go either from there or directly to IQ.gpt, and they can search and they can query and those kind of things. You've mentioned a little bit about, what like B2B or organization level integrations would look like. Can you click a little bit more into that? Like, what would it look like for builders to integrate what you've built into their communities or into their platforms?
Great question. It's actually super easy. It just got easier. All you need to do is like the, I think it's like a GPT chatbot. You can just add that to your Telegram. So if you have a Telegram group, you can just integrate it. Like if you go to the IQGPT.com website, like we have a page on integrations, and you can integrate the chatbot completely for free into your Telegram. You can also integrate it into your Discord. So if you have a Discord community, basically, so what we recommend is like, you can work with us and create a bunch of pages for your community. So like, like if you have an IQWiki page on your NFT project or your DeFi project, you can create that and then it will be trained on that data. And the cool thing we recently added is that you can customize the data. So like, let's say you have like documents that you want to include in the training of the bot. You can customize the bot and you have your own, like, you know, key and everything, and add in like your documentation, and so it will really be fully trained so that if anyone asks questions about documentation, about the story, they can get that information.
Cool. So the whole concept of this podcast of Are We There Yet is to ask builders in the space like yourself, you know, where are we on this on-chain journey, right? And, you know, just like when we were kids and we'd ask our parents, like, are we there yet? Like, you know, no, we're not, right? We know this. but one of the things that's fun to get into is, you know, getting folks like you, you know, sitting where you're sitting, like having, you know, you worked on this project, I think you said for like about 8 years or so, seeing it evolve, seeing the landscape versus Wikipedia, seeing the AI elements, you know, take this sort of wherever you'd like to, but like, where do you see us on this journey of these kinds of things, you know, the place where you're building, like where are we in, you know, in bringing this kind of, you know, experience and access on chain, and maybe one further prompt, like, what does this look like in another year, 2 years, 5 years, given how fast this tech is evolving?
We're extremely early, like, because we're early in AI, you know, ChatGPT, it's only like, you know, last year, really, that we've seen this explosion in usage. So AI is only really becoming adopted now. Crypto is kind of only really, you know, getting adopted now. So then you look at AI crypto, like that specific niche, it's extremely fast growing. But at right now, it's like, you know, a couple percent of the overall crypto market cap, let alone, you know, compared to the AI, like, you know, NVIDIA is a $2 trillion stock. I think the total of all of AI tokens together is like 40 billion. So we're talking like, you know, we have extremely massive room to grow. And I think we're going to see that growth come into play for sure. Because like, I think what we're going to see is the AI crypto space become, you know, similar to the Web3 space, where you have a ton of dApps, a ton of things built in on top of each other. Like, you're going to have a lot of composability. That's going to be the real advantage of decentralized AI. So I think that part is going to be really exciting.
Totally. And in terms of building a better Wikipedia, or, you know, the principles that you mentioned that you guys have built with around, you know, transparency and decentralization, right? Not having these sort of black box decisions, all of this kind of stuff that, you know, are components of what you guys have built. Do you see either by IQ Wiki or by others in the space, do you see in terms of, you know, access to information and, you know, better wikis, do you think you guys will look to grow beyond crypto related information, or is there's so much to do in this space as sort of this is the focus for now?
Yeah, I think it is going to happen, but I think for now we're fully focused on the crypto space. But I think there's going to be a very interesting expansion soon. So the next product is going to again be focused on crypto, but it's going to be a very big application. So currently what we're building is iqcode.ai. So the site is up, but you know, we're just in the big kind of, we're building that out, and we're planning to launch it this year. And basically it's going to be an AI model for smart contracts. And we've been working on that since last year. Vitalik recently spoke about on Twitter about how, you know, he sees AI auditing as being extremely important, one of the most exciting applications in crypto. Because, you know, we all know it from, whether you're a novice or you're an expert, we've all seen the damage that these hacks have done. You know, billions of dollars have been lost to these hacks. So that's something that really needs to be solved, and it's a really major issue for Ethereum and for every blockchain. So I think that's going to be one of the huge applications of AI in crypto, because, you know, projects are going to be, you know, extremely in need of this product, because, you know, the current solutions right now is that you can do a bug bounty, but that takes a lot of time, like, you know, and it takes a lot of money too, right? So you can't just have a bug bounty, like you can't have people review it every single time you ship if you're just starting out. And then the other option is to hire an auditing firm. And that costs a fortune.
So
it's not cheap to hire an auditing firm. And, you know, even most major projects hire auditing firms, you know, we've done in the past, but you can't afford, even if you're a major project, to, you know, hire these firms for every single piece of code that you're going to push. But you can have an AI audit that code every single time you push. And quickly, and you can have them quickly do static analysis and then do a deeper analysis of the code as well using the LLM. So that's one of the projects that we're really excited about.
Very interesting. Very cool. I wanted to ask you over on the wiki side of the house. When I was playing around with the site, and I looked up Coordinate, like one of the projects that I contribute to. I think maybe I'm wearing a Coordinate shirt today.
Nice.
There is not yet a wiki on IQ.wiki for Coordinate, and there was a really easy button that said, do you want to add one? So mm-hmm. I'll go do that, or we'll work with folks in the community to go do that. But I wanted to. I love that, right? That's the whole idea of wikis, I think, is like really fits well with the ethos of crypto and sort of permissionless, like let's go build stuff together. But as my long-winded road to the question I wanted to ask, though, is that what are some communities or topics or tokens or whatever it is where you've seen like some of the best, maybe most fun, most exciting, most whatever engagement around building out like their spaces, their wikis within IQ Wiki.
Great question. I think we're seeing a lot of communities get really into it. Pudgy Penguins was one that they shared it in a lot of their community, and people are big supporters. We were actually early. We got a Pudgy Penguin, I think, last year. As like one of our kind of mascots for our treasury, so like a pink pudgy penguin. So we got a lot of support in that community, so that was exciting. In the DeFi space, it was cool to see Bond Protocol. They did a wiki integration, so like every market, they had a cryptocurrency, they had a wiki, and they integrated it into their site. Now there's a lot of cool ones with IQGPT. We're seeing a lot of interesting applications in terms of communities integrating both the wiki side, like, you know, and also on the IQGPT side.
So wanted to, you know, on this whole are we there yet theme, ask you where you see things going with AI. You know, as you mentioned, and I definitely agree, like we are super early, right? This explosion in that we saw in ChatGPT and the how quickly things are moving is pretty amazing. But we are, as you said, super, super early. So, you know, you work in this space, on the daily. Where do you see this all going? Where are we headed with the future, in terms of AI?
We're in a really exciting place. Like, we're kind of in the beginning where people are kind of building applications. That's kind of the stage that we are at, like on the application end, creating AI applications for crypto. I think the next steps are going to be around building, you know, blockchains dedicated to AI. So I think we're starting to see that with, you know, people taking a couple of different approaches, like BitTensor and stuff like that. I think we are personally interested in building like IQ Chain, like a blockchain dedicated to AI. Like its potential, we're thinking of this in terms of strategy. We're thinking of building out IQ GPT and IQ Code further. And then once those kind of products are doing really well, we've got the product, we're planning to move those on chain. So that's kind of, I haven't really talked about this yet. This is something that's pretty exciting that we're working on. But, you know, I think that's kind of how I see things moving in the future. I think that we're actually going to see the AI applications themselves move on chain. I think, you know, kind of one of the concepts that I think people should think about is that Web3 kind of moved on chain. Like, you know, first it was kind of the first revolution was Bitcoin, you know, transfer of value on chain. And then we saw Ethereum, which was kind of basic smart contracts, basic compute on chain. And then I think, you know, smart contracts and all of that. But the next step is going to be the AI models themselves are going to move on chain. Because why this is important and what this is going to allow is that people are going to be able to build on top of each other. Mm. The same way that you can build DeFi protocols. So, for example, like Frax, you know, they use different stablecoins as collateral. So it's built on top of USDC in a sense. You see Uniswap is built on top of, it's a built up on top of Ethereum, and you have people building stuff on top of Uniswap, and you have people building all kinds of different products on top of each other. We're going to see the same thing with AIs, because what this is going to allow is, because let's say you can have an AI that actually manages its own assets. Like you could have an AI, for example, like right now we have vaults and things in DeFi, where you have like certain strategies, but you could actually have an AI manage the strategy in terms of like, an AI dedicated to trading NFTs or meme coins or DeFi tokens, and they follow a certain AI, the AI has its own strategy. Then you could even have AIs built on top of that that interact with each other. So I think that's going to be the next stage. People are just kind of just starting now to understand that, but I think that's going to be kind of where we're headed in the future. And if you want to go even further into the future, I think we could move into a world where really important applications start to move on chain. And then we need that proof. Like we're going to need that proof that you're actually using the right model. This is like kind of a future problem that I see, is that we're going to have an issue where people start passing off, like, for example, like right now, NVIDIA is exploring this idea of AI nursing. So this idea of where you can have nurses handle all of kind of the telemedicine that's handled by real life nurses that can move on chain. I mean, not on chain, but move to AI. And then I think that should really move on chain, because we're going to live in a world where some people are going to, what they're going to try and do is they're going to try and run it on a much cheaper model. So, maybe you have a very complex model that, has like, several billion inferences, and it's a very complex model, but it's designed specifically, for example, to diagnose cancer. But what you could have as an issue is that people start substituting until like there's a query from a doctor, but instead of using the right software, they end up using a much cheaper model that's way cheaper to run, and you wouldn't really be able to tell because you just get the same output. But you just get an output, but you can't really tell, how do I know that I actually got, it was actually ran on the right model? So this is going to be a big issue. And I think if you do this stuff on chain, it's going to be real proof, and people are going to be able to see that the right model was used. And like right now, a lot of ChatGPT, someone writing an essay, it's not really a big deal. You can just check it. But when we move into the future where, medical applications, business, funds are being managed, I think funds being managed is going to be, a lot sooner than the medical side, for example, because it's a lot more legal. But you can definitely see like hedge funds and, small funds and stuff like that moving on chain. I mean, moving into AI, and then they're going to want that to be on chain, because you're going to want to make sure, again, like, I used the cancer example, but, a lower stake example, but still high stakes, is like, what if I have 100 grand and I have an AI model managing my money? I want to make sure that they're using the right model that I agreed to, and they're not using another model, which either is, cheaper, or it could even be a model that is designed to profit them versus me, like in the strategy that I agreed with. So this is kind of, a big mind shift that's going to happen.
Very cool. It's super interesting. And I had not thought about that way, that like, it's really an extension of the identity value proposition of blockchains, right? The same idea as, oh, I can provide proof that, this signature came from this wallet that is owned by this person, or this, article was written by this trusted source, or this picture is an original and not photoshopped. These same kinds of things all the use cases around, everything from royalties to fake news and what have you, that I think there's a lot of interesting work happening in sort of those corners of crypto. But what you're saying that I think makes a ton of sense is you just extrapolate that same idea, that same concept further into AI. And it's, okay, this information was derived and verified to have come from this, using this model versus, this knockoff, which, could be, like you said, it could be somebody trying to find a cheaper way. It could also be somebody trying to do nefarious things, right? Which especially, as the stakes get higher into medical or bigger financial applications, we know there are crafty bad people out there. So, really, really interesting to think about ways to both you know, the verifiable, this is the model that was used aspect of doing this, doing AI on chain. But then also, like you said, then people being able to, you know, much more easily build on top of each other's models, maybe, you know, step things through multiple models or what have you. So very cool. Very cool. Yeah. I, you know, like I said, it's sort of the top of the episode. I think the place where you guys sit, this sort of intersection of onboarding education and AI, I think, you know, two areas. One in the education area is one that I think has been and for a very long time will be just sort of a massive gap in crypto, right? People, like you said, people come in and learn things from word of mouth or what have you. But then, yeah, thinking about the applications to take that further in AI, again, knowing just how early we are in all of this is pretty exciting to think about. So pretty cool. I wanted to ask you one a little bit different topic, but you touched earlier on the IQ token. How does that work? How does the token come into play with your products? So what should folks know about it?
So the token is completely central to everything. So basically, if you hold IQ tokens, you can stake your tokens, and you get something called high IQ, which is basically like a representation of how long you've staked your tokens. So, you know, put it simply, if you have one IQ, let's say, and you stake it for 4 years, that means you have four high IQ. So it's basically kind of like a representation of how long-term you are. So like, if you have like 100,000 IQ and you stake it for 4 years, you have 400,000 high IQ. And that's what's used to calculate your staking rewards. So it rewards people for having a long-term vision, because one of the issues in crypto is this kind of this idea of mercenary capital, which is like basically this concept where people see, oh, this is the highest APR, I'm just going to stake, and you know, you don't really care, and you're involved in governance. It's like, you know, some guy who's like, you know, they're just holding the token for like, you know, like a month, and they're like, you know, they have the same weight as some guy who's like truly believes in it and is, you know, planning to stake for, you know, 10 years or 3 years or 4 years or what have you. So that's kind of how the staking model that we use. So basically your rewards are calculated based on that, and also your governance, so your voting power. Mm. So if you have like one guy has 100,000 IQ, he stakes it for 4 years, he's going to have 400,000 IQ. So he's going to have four times the voting power of someone who stakes it for like the minimum of like a week.
Awesome. Okay, cool.
And similar, the same with the rewards.
Okay, so there's a real balance of rewarding folks who have been around and have tenure, but also new folks can come in and meaningfully participate by committing to the long term, right? By locking, essentially, if I'm understanding you right.
Exactly.
Right on.
Cool. So that's how that part works, and every staker is able to vote on proposals. So like, for example, when we launched the staking system, like when we made adjustments to the staking system, that was voted on. Like, you know, if there's a major decision, like in terms of where we're going to allocate capital, you know, that can be voted on, like in terms of the direction of the product, you know, all of this stuff, people create proposals and vote on, which is a lot of fun. And it's really cool to see the community get involved and vote on different things.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. And I would imagine that has the community has looked quite different as you've moved more into AI, sort of shifted in the, you know, sort of the focus of what you guys are building. I would assume that attracts sort of different kinds of folks to come in. Is that how it's played out?
Definitely, yeah. A lot of new people are coming into the space. We're getting a lot of different people with different backgrounds. One of the most exciting recent things was that we were actually recognized in a report by some Oxford researchers. They did a report, it was backed by Polygon, and they wrote this report and they included us as one of the AI applications. So that kind of got us a lot of attention there. And we're seeing a lot of interest because like a lot of people are really getting into AI crypto. A lot of the new people we're getting into crypto, they're kind of getting it in on this AI wave. And yeah, so we're seeing a lot of new people getting involved through that.
Cool. I feel like as we've been chatting, that tweet from Jason Calcanis that I don't know when that was, maybe like a year ago, was like, if you're in crypto, pivot to AI. your response is, I think, is sort of like a why not both, Jason?
I should tweet that. That's a good one. Why not both? That's exactly, because we love both things. Like, you can do more than one thing, because we were always really into crypto, and it's really perfect for us because we were super passionate about knowledge and we're super passionate about crypto. So, AI is the best way to combine those two things.
Awesome. Well, Naveen, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you getting into sort of the product and your background and the future. And like I said, I'm personally excited about the sort of this intersection of opportunity where you guys are building. So really good to meet. And we will we'll include in the show notes and links to all the places where folks can find you. But if you wanted to, before we sign off, any last words, and then also let folks know, where they should go online to learn more, to get involved, to use your products.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me. Definitely check out IQ.wiki. You can check out IQGPT.com, and definitely check out IQcode.ai. So those are the three main products, and you can learn about everything there.
Fantastic. All right, sir. Well, thanks again. I appreciate you coming.
Thank you for having me.